This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO, Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation. And let me give you some tools to help you destroy billionaire rule. This is the news you're not supposed to know. Well, the middle of last month, early this month, I was gone, and I was really happy to do my return show last week, and so I didn't mention much about what I had been doing. But since on this show, I also like to be sort of a trans support show and a little bit of rah-rah for male to female and female to male transgendered persons in this country, I will say what I have been doing. And that is that I went to Buenos Aires, Argentina, with thousands of dollars in hand, hoping to get facial feminization surgery. And this is very important for a trans woman, because once you pass puberty, not only do you grow a beard, but there are some other subtle changes that occur to your face, what people call a man's face, and you can put makeup on it, but people know that something's wrong with it, and people don't know maybe exactly what those proportions are, but they can tell you that, well, you know, you look like a man wearing makeup, or they'll say, you know, they'll say, oh, you look great. You know, your friends will tell you that, but you'll notice if you do this that people read you, put quotation marks around the word read, and we'll treat you accordingly, according to their, you know, perception of what they think a male-to-female trans person is or should be or shouldn't be or what have you. And so this affects your life. It affects my life. I work as a bus driver, and so I see thousands of people every week, and a lot of people react. A lot of people don't react. But the percentage of people who want to react vociferously and negatively have the opportunity to pretty much read me right away, or they have. And so I found out that I could afford facial feminization surgery by going to Argentina. Now, you might ask, well, why didn't you just get that done through your health insurance? And I did start to get things done like that. I started to get actually the other surgery, male to female surgery, through my health insurance. And they were kind of congratulating me, saying, you know, I was one of the few in the area, and they were all ready to do it. And then got a call from them saying, oh, we can't do it because we have a letter from your employer saying that it is not allowed. So I bring this to your attention because I would like you to consider this, that where a procedure is medically necessary, it is possible for your employer to just say, no, I don't like that. And the real reasons, you know, I could cut through the reasons why my employer does this. And the real reason is they're not comfortable with it. You know, it kind of goes against their religion. And, well, you know, they'd be a little embarrassed to be part of it. And whether medical science says it's the right thing to do or not doesn't matter. It also apparently, the fact that there is an anti-discrimination clause in the city government doesn't matter, because they've got the power, they've got the money. They hold the purse strings with the insurance company, and they can put in a rider, and they did. And so I'm not allowed to have medical procedures related to my transgender status. This, despite the fact that I've been transgender, I have lived as a woman exclusively, without pause, without exception, for more than 10 years now. So, to get this done in the United States is simply prohibitive. It's between $40,000 and $50,000. Can't get there from here, not the way I live. And so off to Argentina I went with $6,000 and change to a surgeon. And they did a terrific job, I'm glad to say. And so the interesting thing was for me, what will it be like to get back into the United States? And this is my first broadcast since I've been back and been back to work, because that's what it was all about. You know, will I finally get a chance to not be read and not be confronted and not be stressed out? You know, 10 years of this has resulted, and all this is documented, has resulted, of course. I mean, anyone would suffer what I have suffered, which is panic disorder, PTSD, just craziness, really, because who can take being put down, singled out, yelled at, threatened, occasionally assaulted because of who they are? So I went to Argentina, and the doctor did a terrific job. Now, what he did is he took out a little strip of skin that's between my nose and my upper lip. And this looks different between men and women. It's really not very much. It's a, you know, it's like a centimeter. But it's enough, and you will find yourself automatically reading people as male or female according to that little strip and a few other little cues, little details. Changed the geometry of my eyes. Made my cheeks come out more. Changed the shape and size of my face. Through other procedures, it was all done. I went back to work, and I am pleased to tell you, yes, it works. People treat me like a human being, and I'm very glad and very relieved to find out just how much it is worth it. And so the moral of this story is, if you are transgender, hello, my fellow trannies. There's a few of those in Portland. It is worthwhile to go to a good surgeon. It is worthwhile to save up the money. You can get it done cheaper overseas, much, much cheaper overseas. Won't say it was without problems. At times, it was very, very painful. Found a different attitude towards pain management in Argentina. But it was done to good result, I'm glad to say. So that's the news from the transgender side of the world. Now I'll get back to regular press watch. Let's talk about a headline or two. Thousands are demonstrating in Madrid against the Pope's visit. Thousands of people demonstrated on Wednesday in Madrid against the visit that Pope Benedict XVI is scheduled to pay on Thursday. Why can't you lighten up on trannies? They said, no, that's not what they said. At the Puerta del Sol Square, the police decided to try to prevent clashes between groups that support the visit and others who are against. Protesters say they reject the use of public funds to finance the organization of the Pope's visit. Some carried posters reading, "We need less crosses and more education." That's according to Telesur on Radio Havana. Organizers of the Pope's visit and members of the Catholic Church describe the protest as irresponsible. The spokesperson with Madrid's Atheistic and Free Thinking Association, should be Athletic and Free Thinking Association, don't you think? That'd just be so healthy. But anyway, Luis Vega said that this is not an anti-Pope demonstration, but a protest against the way the visit has been organized and the annual funds allocated by the state for the Catholic Church. The excessive cost of the visit has reached some 100 million euros, according to protesters. And let's see, I have some other headlines. You know, actually, I think given the time, I'll skip right to the meat of the program, which is the fact that the country is rich. The United States is quite rich. It's really doing very well. Many, many, many trillions of dollars are expended annually by the United States and by citizens of the United States. And that money is flowing very nicely. Thank you. And what's that? You seem to be in a pinch. Well, that's your fault. Or wait, or is it? Wait a minute. Maybe it's not your fault. Maybe that money was created by you. That money had to come from somewhere, didn't it? And let's see, who works? Would it be the inheritance class, the 70% who inherit those trillions of dollars in the 1%? No. No, we do the work. And we create the wealth. And it seems that we've had a bit of a maldistribution. There's an article on Alternet titled $8 Trillion on Our Military Addiction, Why the Price Tag of the National Security Complex Should Scare the Hell Out of You. And I'm going to pass a little bit of that on the air here, and also a little bit of another article talking about not just the military, but the parasitism of the super rich, how they take the money away from you and put together trillions of dollars from themselves. Remember, when you're talking about national policy, you should be talking about trillions of dollars. I don't want you to fool you talking about millions, certainly. Forget millions. A trillion is 1,000 billion. When you hear that a national project, might cost billions of dollars, well, that's peanuts. Let me read from this article. The killing of Osama bin Laden did not put cuts in national security spending on the table. But the debt ceiling debate finally did, and mild as those projected cuts might have been, last week, newly minted Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta was already digging in his heels and decrying the modest potential cost-cutting plans as a doomsday mechanism for the military. Pentagon allies on Capitol Hill were similarly raising the alarm as they move forward with this year's even larger military budget. None of this should surprise you. As with all addictions, once you're hooked on massive military spending, it's hard to think realistically or ask the obvious questions. So at a moment when discussion about cutting military spending is actually on the rise for the first time in years, here are a few little-known basics about the spending spree this country has been on since September 11th, 2001. And here's a few simple questions about what all that money has actually bought Americans. The writer says that Chris Hellman is writing this. He says, consider this my contribution to a future 12-step program for national security sobriety. Let's start with the three basic post-9/11 numbers that Washington's addicts need to know. $5.9 trillion. Yes, with a T, trillion. That's the sum of taxpayer dollars that's gone into the Pentagon's annual base budget from 2000 to today. Note that the base budget includes nuclear weapons activities, even though they are overseen by the Department of Energy, but, and this is crucial, not the cost of our wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Nonetheless, even without those war costs, the Pentagon budget managed to grow from $302.9 billion in 2000, and departing from this article, remember what I was saying about billions, to $545 billion annually in 2011. That's a dollar increase of $242 billion, or an 80% jump, $163.6 billion, and 44% if you adjust for inflation. It's enough to make your head swim, and we're barely started. $1.3 trillion, that's the total cost of the Iraq and Afghan wars by the September 30th, the end of the current fiscal year, including all money spent for those wars by the Pentagon and the State Department, the U.S. Agency for International Development, and other federal agencies. Of this, $869 billion will have been for Iraq, $487.6 billion for Afghanistan. So let's review what we're talking about here. $5.9 trillion base, $1.36 trillion for the wars. That's over the last 10 years because we're coming up on that anniversary of 9/11. Oh, and I'll have more to say about that. Now, here's another one. $636 billion. That's only $0.63 trillion. Most people usually ignore this part of the national security budget. Seldom see any figures for it, but it's the amount adjusted for inflation that the U.S. government has spent so far on homeland security. This isn't an easy figure to arrive at because Homeland Security funding flows through literally dozens of federal agencies, not just the DHS. A mere $16 billion was requested for Homeland Security in 2001. For 2012, the figure is $71 billion, only $37 billion of which will go through the DHS. A substantial part, $18 billion, will funnel through, don't be surprised, Department of Defense, while other agencies like Department of Health and Human Services get $4.6 billion, and the Department of Justice gets $4.1 billion, and they'll be picking up the slack. So add the $5.9 trillion and the $1.36 trillion and the $636 billion together, and you're at the edge of $8 trillion in national insecurity spending for the last decade plus. And you're probably wondering where the nearest group for compulsive spending addiction meets. Number to call with your comments: 503-231-8187. Pardon me for a moment. 503-231-8187. East of the Rockies, that's 503-231-8187, because we don't have a special line for that. And, of course, we are at KBOO.FM, and there is a way to leave a comment on that. By the way, if you're listening on KBOO.FM, or maybe even if you're not, I'd like you to pull that up and click the tip jar. Because we need to expand KBOO. KBOO has wonderful potential of creating a synergy, the sort of thing that used to be legislated against in cities, the sort of thing that used to be such a bugaboo that it was illegal to have a newspaper and a radio station in the same town. Well, we've got a radio station and a website, and there's a lot that can be done with that synergy. And it is time for us to get the truth out and to get the righteous tunes out as well. And we're doing that. And I'm really proud of KBOO Community Radio and the community that it represents. represent. And you need to join. And even if you don't want to join, or even if you've already joined, you can click that tip jar and give us, I think, as little as $5. I think that's how it works. But it's a marvelous thing. And you need to put your money where your mouth is. And I'm sorry, I just got a note from the engineer saying that we're having little problems with the telephone. So if you're having difficulty getting through, then we're working on that. There may be a patch possible, because we have excellent engineers here, and they can always find another way, a workaround. And that's what we'll be working on. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And I've been talking about the absurd, obscene, ridiculous amount of money that is spent on the Pentagon. And I also like to talk about who rules America. And I think it's obvious that that would be the top 10th of a 1%. Reason being, they have all the money, and it really takes quite a bit of money to buy off our politicians. But maybe you don't know just how bad it is. Maybe you don't realize that there is a superclass, a permanent superclass now that we've spiked the dynasty tax, that can get around and think nothing of getting around on private jets that have marble bathrooms. Oh, yes, they do, with showers and gold-plated fixtures, their own crew to fly their jet around. You know, there's a whole nother airport. There's an airport for you and me where we have to stand in our socks in big crowds, and then there's another airport. Have you ever noticed that? The private aviation airport. And maybe you think that's just people in Cessnas. Or maybe you think it's the occasional rock star coming by in a jet. No, that is your ruler. Your rulers go to the other airport. And at the other airport, you don't have to stand in line. You don't have to stand in your socks. You don't get any of that search nonsense. Did you know that? No. You get ferried out to your private jet. And you get direct nonstop service, of course, because it's your jet. While 68.3 million Americans struggle to get enough food to eat, and wages are declining for 90% of the population, U.S. millionaire household wealth has reached an unprecedented level. According to extensive study by auditing and financial advisory firm Deloitte, U.S. millionaire households now have $38.6 trillion in wealth. On top of the $38.6 trillion the study reveals, they have an estimated $6.3 trillion hidden in offshore accounts. Yeah, and what do you think? Let me depart from that. What do you think they have it offshore to evade taxes? And who's going to bust them? Well, they paid off the government, so no one's going to bust them until we have a revolution. I think it's time for a revolution. Excuse me. In total, U.S. millionaire households have at least $45.9 trillion in wealth. The majority of this wealth is held within the upper one-tenth of 1% of the population. If all this isn't obscene enough, to further demonstrate how the global economy has now been completely rigged, Deloitte's analysis predicted, based on current trends, that U.S. millionaire households will see a 225% increase in wealth to $87 trillion by 2020, accounting for wealth hidden in offshore accounts. They are projected to have over $100 trillion in total in the next decade. And departing from the article again, where do you think they'll get it? Oh, do you think maybe you'll have to work harder and get less? I think that's how it'll work. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Phones are working, the lines are full, because the engineer, Emily Young, is a genius who has patched in the phones from a different studio. She just got to work, she says. Okay, fine. I still say you're a genius, and I'll take the first call. Hi, you're on the air on Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. I think you're on the air.
Is that me?
That is you.
Okay. Well, my question, I'd like your thoughts on the amount of money the Department of Homeland Security spends to spy on ordinary American citizens.
Well, that's all they do, isn't it?
Well, that's kind of what my experience has been. But
They implement fascism, basically.
Yeah, that's why I don't have a computer anymore in the house.
You. You terrorist?
I know. God, it's amazing I have a phone. But that was it. It's just I wanted to hear what you thought.
Well, you know, they get frustrated with people like you. There was an activist recently who didn't have a cell phone, and so the FBI actually had this foot-long mostly battery, heavy little black device that they stuck to the bottom of his car with magnets just so they could follow him, you know, because if you have a cell phone, they can follow you around using the transponder.
Right. I never turned my cell phone on.
So it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, it was free. It came loaded with pornography.
Oh.
And then the second one they gave me, strangely enough, had the year I was born as part of the phone number. I thought, oh, okay. Well, that's what I think, too. And I'm thinking, how long will it take them to figure out I'm not paying my taxes from my two disability pensions that are all I have to live on next year? Will I outlive their, I think I will.
That would be the best revenge, outlive.
Well, that's the thing. Will I outlive their ability to figure out that I'm not paying taxes? I haven't tried that yet, but lots of people do that.
Well, if you're one of these 1/10 of 1%, guess how much taxes you're likely to pay?
I don't know.
Nothing. Well, you would pay zero. Nada.
Well,
zip.
I'm not
nothing.
Those guys. I am so not them.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Number to call, 503-231-8187. Want to talk about transgenderism? Want to talk about facial feminization surgery? Want to talk about the obscene maldistribution of wealth in this country and the disgusting imperialism that we use it for? Then give us a call, 503-231-8187, and Jack's on the air.
Yeah, I guess that's me then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Glad they got it working. I'm really glad you're still on the air and you're keeping the awareness about the 9/11 issue alive. It is the linchpin to the global war of terror.
And it's bogus, but go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. It's widely referred to as the greatest intelligence failure of all time. Au contraire, it's absolutely the greatest intelligence success of all time. I mean, they've just managed to get this global war of terror going, and they keep it going, and it's feeding a military-industrial complex that's just a monster that's out of control.
It's very successful mind control, and I thought, you know, one of the basic things about this that I keep coming across is that people don't want to go there because they don't want to think of this really, you know, what they feel is an intensely negative mind view. And I want to explain worldview. I mean, I want to explain how I came into it. You know, I was a Central America activist before I ever came to Portland. I actually started Press Watch in Austin, Texas, and Central America is one of the things I talked about. And I observed what the CIA did in Central America, which is just as grotesque and just as base and just as full of torture as anything that we're doing now. The problem is, you know, now it's all blown back. We used to do it to Central America. So I came into it expecting the U.S. government to be just absolutely full of it when it came to telling the American people what was going on. And I expected the U.S. government, you know, after studying the Phoenix assassination program, for example, and knowing about the Northwoods event and this sort of thing, I expected this sort of evil. And so when it occurred in 9/11, it was shocking as hell. But it wasn't that much of a surprise.
Absolutely. And the fact that so many so-called progressives simply stay clear of it as much as they can possibly do, it makes one wonder. But at the end of the day, if you give them the benefit of the doubt, you can just say, well, you know, they want to keep their lecture tours going, their book deals going, you know, whatever. They want to hold their place in the media and not be entirely expunged touching the third rail, which is for the last 10 years it's been the case. And Ms. Lindauer was in town last week talking about her experience. A genuine insider whistleblower who was a CIA.
How do you spell that? And we're gonna have to do this really quickly. Lindauer,
okay,
you
well,
say?
At any rate, she pointed out very clearly a substantial peace process was in place before Iraq was invaded in 2003. And it was completely shut down and totally subverted.
Okay, and how do you spell her name? Is it Lindauer?
Yes, I believe that's right. It's Susan Lindauer.
Okay, we'll have to look that up. Okay, I'm going to try to get some time for Mitchell and then Bart on the line. Thank you very much for calling in. Let's talk to Mitchell. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Have a good time in Argentina.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Sunshining.
No, well, sometimes. It's winter there. And so it was, you know, it was cool, and sometimes it was rainy, but it was great. Hello? Oh, I think we lost that call, so sorry about that, Mitchell. And then Barth. Hi, Barth. Hello, Barth.
It's Mitchell.
It's Mitchell. Mitchell's still there. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi. Yeah, you did radio in Austin?
I did, yes.
Are you familiar with Alex Jones?
Yes.
And InfoWars?
This is a long time ago. I did a broadcast on KZI in 1986 and 7.
Well, he's kind of leading the charge against what's going on with these banksters and corporate elitists. And I would like part of your rhetoric to be you should listen to Alex Jones.
Well,
your
audience
can only get so informed from your show.
Well, okay. I appreciate that. I have criticisms of Alex Jones. He's doing a lot of work. And then, you know, when he talks about what the bankers are doing, he talks about Jews. And, heck, there's a lot of Jews involved, but it isn't a Jewish racial thing. That's racism. And, that sort of thing is just truly obnoxious. And you know, David Duke is merely he's affiliated with death squads, and he would never be tolerated if he were not white. So that's the sort of problems I have with Alex Jones. And I thank you for your call. Time is 9:28 or getting there, and I think we might have time for just a few comments from Barth. Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Right back. Congratulations for getting your work done. If people don't want their cell phones to be a tracking device, they have to not only shut them off, but remove the battery.
The transponder has to go out, yeah.
Yeah, if you take the battery out of the body, there's no signal, there's no power for the signal.
Well, you know, the way a transponder works is you got a powerful enough signal, you can actually get a signal right out of that little device, even when it doesn't have any power. But, that would be much more effective. I agree with what you're saying. Well, thanks very much for your call. And the time is 9:29. You've been listening to Press Watch. This is one of those days where I had a lot more to say. But, you know, I'll just have to say it next week. And, you know, the anniversary of 9/11 is coming up. And we'll be talking about that here on KBOO in coming weeks. So stay tuned for more of the Incomparable Radio Zine on KBOO Portland.